Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. The Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Dank and Bharati Jagdish. Time now for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. Another day, another Evergrande story.
The biggest story this week, and I'm sure in the days and weeks to come as well, Ryan.
Yeah, I think this could be made into a movie one day. So what we have right now is financial regulators in China laying down the law for Evergrande Group, and they have told the struggling developer to do whatever it takes to avoid a near-term default on dollar bonds. They've also told the company to focus on completing unfinished properties and repaying individual investors. But so far, no indication yet on whether there's going to be any bailout or financial support for paying off those bonds they owe. At the same time, got reports from Wall Street Journal, Beijing telling local agencies and state-owned enterprises to prepare for Evergrande's downfall, so prevent any unrest and mitigate the ripple effects on home buyers and the broader economy. Let's get a bigger picture from Dong Chen. He is the senior Asia economist for Pictet Wealth Management. Morning, Dong Chen. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad to have you on. Now, let's look at the latest developments. How do you see things panning out for China Evergrande in terms of a potential contagion? Is there much hope for a bailout right now?
Well, we think there are several points I'd like to highlight. Number one is that we do not expect the Evergrande situation to get into some systemic risk for the economy. Broadly, particularly the financial sector, because you look at the banking sector, actually overall direct exposure to the company actually is fairly limited. And second thing is that you look at the contagion in the credit market, actually the markets are making a clear distinction between those bad guys and the good guys. Actually, look at the IG names in the property space. Actually, some of them didn't even move. So I think actually that's a good sign that the market actually making that distinction. Of course, and lastly is that we recognize that this entire situation of Evergrande actually is the result of the active policy measures by the Chinese government for the purpose of avoiding potential systemic financial risk down the road. So we will be very, very surprised if this actually in itself caused some systemic events. And we expect the government to intervene. If they fail to do that, I would consider that a kind of policy mistake, which is not our base.
Yeah, Dong Chen, there are some critics who say what's happening with Evergrande is reflective of a wider issue of the China property sector. It got carried away building, and according to some estimates, there are now 90 million empty houses. That's enough to fit many European countries. So this property sector, of course, is a big part of the Chinese economy. Are we due for a correction here in this sector because of this big overhang in property availability and, of course, what might happen with property prices if we see Evergrande try and liquidate some of its inventory?
Well, I think it's a fair assessment. We think that we do expect a deceleration in the property investment by developers in the near term as well as into 2022. So that could be a drag to the Chinese growth. That's correct, yes. And we do expect some moderate correction in property price as well, but we do not expect any collapse.
Okay, if you look at the growth numbers you should be bracing for coming from China, there seems to be more headwinds growing. Exports are slowing down according to some indicators. There is the Delta variant still causing supply chain bottlenecks. What sort of numbers should we be comfortable looking at when it comes to China growth in the next few quarters and years?
Well, for 2021, currently our ongoing forecast is 8.7% for the full year. Of course, a big part of it is because of base effect of the low base last year. And looking into 2022, currently we're still expect above 5% growth rate, but that kind of forecast could be subject to some downside risk.
Okay, and if we, of course, look at the regulatory crackdown that's been affecting many industries, how much of an overhang will this have on the economy and what's happening in terms of markets? Because there's going to be some earnings hits when it comes to some of these corporates who can't raise capital and, of course, can't do business as usual.
Yeah, there are a lot of things going on right now at the point, especially on the regulatory front. And I believe that also caused quite some confusions and concerns among investors. I would say, we probably will need to wait for a while before that settles. But I'd like to say the following. First, some of the new regulations, if they're implemented well, I think it should benefit China in the long term. Right? For example, you look at the theme of common prosperity. I think that should be a good thing. something, because you know many countries in the world right now actually are suffering from this widening income gap, and we know that they contribute to issues like rising populism and so on. And people generally consider that as a problem. And now you have one country actually sincerely wants to tackle that. I think that should be a good thing if implemented well. But in the short term, when you are saying that this preference is shifting from favoring capital towards the labor, towards the working class, that potentially can have put some headwinds to corporate profits in the near term at least.
Yeah, there's a bit of a recalibration for long-term growth here. And part of that seems to be also the adjustment to a greener agenda, their efforts to reduce carbon levels around the world, including China. How does this play into China's long-term growth prospects when it looks at maybe will it benefit more relative to the US, which has a huge oil and gas industry?
Well, yeah, we identify several factors that may have an impact on the economy, right? Directly, actually, it may pose some costs. For example, at this point, you have Chinese local governments actually require some companies, some carbon-intensive industries to temporarily shut down to just to reach their year-end carbon emission targets. That clearly is, hurting growth in the near term. But at the same time, we also recognize that China is already a world leader in some of the renewable equipment space. For example, you look at the wind power industry. China is supplying over 60% of wind power equipment in the world. And similarly, that is for solar as well. So this global shift towards carbon neutrality actually poses huge opportunities for Chinese companies in those space. And for the longer term, we're looking at now until 2030, which is the year that where China is expected to reach the peak of its carbon emission. We think net-net, China actually could benefit from it.
Okay, so long-term fundamentals to watch out for when it comes to China's growth. We've been chatting with Dong Zhen. He is the Senior Asia Economist for Pictet Wealth Management. Dong Zhen, thank you for your time and have a great weekend in advance.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.